Chapter 27. The Storm Unleashed. I bring the winds to free you from your hesitation. I call the storms to remind you what you are. My faith endures for the sake of something less and more in them, and so I bring the winds to echo in your heart. Windbringer, the Crook's Shadows. The doctor fell silent, shoulders heaving as he struggled for breath, though the awful, ragged screams still echoed in Inara's ears. She clutched Simon's arm tightly, as much to keep herself from trying something stupid, like snatching away one of the security guard's guns and killing Barash herself, as for support. Is that what he did to Mal? It was hard to identify the expression on the Mulkshire alien's face, but everyone else in the room seemed frozen in horror, even Raj's ex-Broncode allies. Anara eyed the staring guard nearest her, and wondered if making a play for a weapon was as stupid as all that. Everyone seemed utterly caught up in the awful drama playing out between Viraj and his victim. And then the doctor began to laugh. If you could call it a laugh. Anara thought it was the most chilling sound she'd ever heard, a low, cold chuckle with only the blackest humor in it. A ripple of shock ran around the room. Viraj blinked, clearly as surprised as everyone else.
"I have invaded your mind, Doctor," he said gravely. "I felt your shields shatter. What is this?"
The doctor got slowly, painfully, to his feet, still laughing softly. His eyes, when he opened them, were fever bright. "So you have, Viraj. But you're not the first one to batter your way into my head. You probably won't be the last." His teeth bared in a swift, scimitar smile, as chilling as his laughter of the moment before. Viraj took a step backwards, then caught himself.
"What is this?"
he demanded again. "Shall I let you in on a little secret, Viraj? Of all the beings who have ever broken into my mind, not a one of them succeeded without my letting them." There was a moment of silence. Then,
"Even a Time Lord's defenses cannot stand up to someone with my training. You're bluffing, Doctor."
"Possibly," agreed the Doctor affably. "And I won't try to convince you that all that screaming was an act. That was bloody painful, Viraj, I'll have you know. You really did batter through my shields." Viraj's eyes narrowed, and Inara thought she saw a flicker of uncertainty in the alien's great eyes.
"Your mind is mine, Doctor. Your will. Yourself."
The Doctor raised an eyebrow. "Is it? Is it really?" He grinned savagely. "But here's a thought to worry you, Viraj. Now that you are in my mind, can you get out again?" Viraj's eyes widened.
What have you done?"
"You seem to have forgotten some of the basic rules of combat, Viraj. One in particular, that in a moment an attacker succeeds in breaking through his opponent's defenses, in that moment his own defenses must be lowered to allow him in. Now, that's not usually a problem. I'm not surprised you didn't remember it. I was certainly in no position to take advantage, was I? Only, I'm not alone, Viraj. While you were busy showing off how tough you are in the face of the hapless Time Lord's pathetic psychic defenses, I'll guarantee you never noticed the very human psychic making mincemeat of yours." The Doctor lifted a hand. And from the hall behind them glided River, smiling serenely past the security team. She had, until now, been waiting in the TARDIS, relaying orders and waiting for the Doctor's call. "Snap," she said. "Whoops," said the Doctor. "Too late. You're nicked now, old chum, and you aren't getting out unless I say otherwise. No, don't," he said, as the security team made as though to raise their guns. "Tell them to put their weapons down, Viraj." The Mokshar's eyes narrowed.
"No."
Then he gasped and swayed, the feathers along his head flattening. "I can make it hurt worse," said the Doctor flatly. "Now tell them to put their guns down." "Do it," snapped McKinney, eyeing the two aliens with sudden, wary fear. The security men unhappily lowered their weapons to the floor. Inara nudged Simon, and they both moved the weapons, and themselves, out of the squad's reach. Simon bent to retrieve one of the guns, though he kept it held loosely by his side.
"You can't do this," panted Viraj. I am a Makai empath of the First Order. You haven't got the strength to—"
"To do what?" the Doctor purred. "To bind a Mokshar?" The Doctor shook his head. It's true that the Academy's psychic training was only average at best.
He stepped close to the trapped alien, beckoning him to bend close. With obvious reluctance, Varage complied. "But you're forgetting something, Varage," he said in the alien's ear. "I am not average. Far from it. And I've spent the better part of 1,000 years facing down the meanest, nastiest powers this universe and a few others have to offer. I'm sorry, Varage, but by comparison, you just don't present that much of a challenge." He stepped back and nodded to River. "Though I do admit that I couldn't have gotten past your defenses without some extremely competent help." Varage glared furiously at him, and on the floor Mal suddenly stirred. Anara suppressed the urge to go to him. It would not, she thought, be wise to place herself within the enraged alien's reach. "I can still hold the human's mind, Doctor," Varage hissed. "If you do not release me at once, I will crush him." The doctor leaned forward, his voice dropping to an icy snarl. "Do that, Varage, and you will end your days screaming in the deep places of my mind." The Mokshar recoiled. "You wouldn't do that. You can't." "Why not? You would. But you're the doctor." The doctor's chuckle had an edge like swords. "Ah, yes, that argument. Heard that one before. And you know me so well, don't you, Varage? You called me a monster not long ago. But now, ah, now you plead for the doctor, the compassionate, merciful, pacifist doctor. Yes, I think war is a fool's game. Yes, I believe life, all life, is precious. But tell me something, Varage. Did you ever listen to my enemies' tales of me? If you did, it's obvious you weren't paying attention. The Daleks do not have emotion, Varage. They don't know fear. But do you know what they called me? Kafarik Gatri. It means destroyer of worlds. I am the bringer of darkness, Varage, the oncoming storm. I've watched worlds and galaxies fall and rise and fall again. I've fought the vampires at the dawn of creation, and I may yet witness the end of the universe. I brought about the destruction of my own race, the death of my children, my grandchildren, my siblings, my friends, all in the name of peace, to save this universe. So you tell me, Varage, what do you think I am capable of?" Varage was silent. Anara, staring at the doctor's face, wondered how she could have ever mistaken him for human. There was nothing human in his face now. Instead, she saw something ancient and terrible. And, she thought, full of as much sorrow as rage. "I don't like violence," the doctor continued, his voice rough. "And I don't like causing pain. But know this, you who once called yourself a healer and teacher, if you attempt to harm Malcolm Reynolds further, if you persist in your attempts to force him to your will, then I will cause you such pain that you'll wish you'd burned in Arcadia." "Passing judgment, Doctor." The Mokshar's voice was not quite steady, and he would not meet the Time Lord's eyes. "Do you then seek to force me to your will?" "No, Varage," said the Doctor softly. "The choice is yours. It is always yours." He suddenly looked impossibly weary. "But remember, so are the consequences yours. I warned you that I would stop you if you didn't give it up on your own. So here we are. You can choose to end this madness, or you can choose to deal with me." Varage met his gaze then, and held it for a long moment. Then he lowered his head. "Very well, Doctor." On the floor, the faint movement Anara had seen in Mal stopped, and he seemed to sag deeper into apparent unconsciousness. The doctor caught River's eye and nodded towards Mal. The girl knelt down next to him. "You can't do this," cried McKinney. "You're just going to let him ruin our plans?" Beside Anara, Simon made a small sound that might have been a very soft uh-oh. The doctor, who had been largely ignoring Varage's allies in favor of the alien, turned his attention to the former browncoats. "And just what is it you're going to do about it, then?" he asked coolly. "Bearing in mind, gentlemen, that I haven't got many reasons for viewing any of you with a merciful eye." "Who the hell do you think you are?" snarled McKinney. He reached into his coat and froze at the sound of a gun's safety clicking off. Anara regarded him coldly down the length of one of the security squad's automatic rifles. No one had even noticed her picking it up. "Don't," she said. "I have even less reason to like you than he does, and I don't share his distaste for guns." "Not where Ma is concerned, anyway," she added silently. Not after what you've done to him. Beside her, belatedly, Simon raised his own weapon meaningfully at the security squad.
And frankly, added the doctor, I'm not of much mind to stop her if she decides to shoot you. Weapons, gentlemen, on the floor. Let's not make this any nastier than it needs to be.
He stepped forward and plucked the comm from Reinhold's hands.
Thank you, he said politely, and spent a few seconds fiddling with the frequency. Jane?
The comm erupted with ear-splitting static and shrieks, the sound of an explosion transmitted over the small radio. The doctor winced. After a moment, Jane's voice said,
Yeah?
How's it going?
Not so bad, came the reply. Zoe's picking off stragglers from the rooftop, and the cops have just about cleaned up the rest.
How many were there?
About 50. But with Reavers, that's like 100.
Are the casualties very heavy?
Anara could see the doctor hold his breath, fearing the answer.
Not too bad.
Gotta say, Paquin's cops ain't too bad at this. We've got maybe 6 dead and another dozen wounded, but considering the other side, I'd call that a win.
Thought it might go bad, but once I got me some grenades, it was all shiny.
The doctor closed his eyes briefly and said, I'm glad to hear it. Good work. He raised his eyes to the men, who were all staring at him in varying degrees of horror, fury, and, in Reinhold's case, wary respect.
So, then, what was that about your plans?
McKinney glared, but one of the other men put a hand on his shoulder and shook his head.
I should think you lot would recognize defeat when you see it, said the doctor nastily.
He looked at Farage.
How many more are there in reserve?
The monkshire hesitated, as if considering not giving an answer, but then he caught the doctor's eye and said,
50 more, in stasis, that I haven't conditioned yet.
Simon, would you kindly retrieve my coats from the security man there? And my screwdriver.
Thank you. He caught the items as Simon tossed them to him, shrugging back into suit jacket and draping the coat over the nearby chair before crossing to the control panel on the desk Farage had earlier used to free his pet Reavers.
Let me see now.
He tapped the screwdriver against his teeth.
Ah, here we are. Environmental controls. Let's put those poor monsters out of their misery, shall we?
He pushed some buttons, then turned the screwdriver on the panel.
It whirred, and there was the responding beep from the machinery.
There, he said.
And just to make sure no one else tries anything clever with the computers.
He thumbed something on his screwdriver.
It whined again, and a small puff of smoke erupted from the panel. Now then,
doctor. River's voice was very soft, almost a whisper, but it brought the doctor's head around as though she had it on a string.
I can't find him, she said.
The doctor dropped to his knees beside Mal, reaching out to touch his face. Anara's hands tightened on her weapon, and she watched his face. After a long moment, the doctor drew a harsh breath.
He's dead.